Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, Srila Prabhupada presented the essence of the Vedic wisdom through Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, principally through Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. Mention the Bhagavad Gita is a preliminary study, and Srimad Bhagavatam is the advanced study. And finally, of course, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. But principally, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented his teachings to Bhagavad Gita and Srimad. Both are actually the essence of the Gita. Bhagavad Gita has been presented as the essence of all the Upanishads, because Bhagavad Gita is an Upanishad. Bhagavad Gita falls in the category of Upanishad. What is the definition of Upanishad? The definition of Upanishad is the wisdom, knowledge that is received sitting at the feet or near to the Guru, the self-realized soul, the teacher. Sitting near, that means the knowledge that is received from the teacher, spiritual master, Guru Upanishad. Now, of all the Upanishads, now why Bhagavad Gita is an Upanishad? Because who is receiving the knowledge? Arjuna. Where, from whom? From Krishna, the original spiritual master, Adi Guru. The original spiritual master is Krishna. So, this way we can see that Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Upanishads. And it has been presented very nicely in the Gita Mahatmya. It says, Sarva Upanishadu Gavo Dogdha Govala Nandana Vatsa Partha Sri Kota Dogdha Gita Mahatmya. Sarva Upanishadu Gavo. All the Upanishads have been compared to Gavo. And Dogdha Gopala Nandana, the cowherd boy, Krishna, Gopala Nandana, has built that. And Vatsa Partha, the cow gives the milk for the sake of the calf. So for whose sake Krishna gave Bhagavad Gita? The heart. But although the cow gives the milk for the calf, but the calf doesn't drink all the milk. Who drinks the milk? The human being. And this particular milk, who drinks? Sudhi. Sudhi. Su means beautiful or advanced. And he means intelligence. If the individual with advanced intelligence drink this milk, okay. So this way we can see that Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all the Upanishads. And what is the basic understanding, teaching, or what is the principal teaching of Bhagavad Gita? Vedas have three sections. Vedas have three khandas. Khandas means main branches. Those three main branches are Karma Kanda, then Jnana Kanda, and then Karma Kanda section is giving us the understanding how to enjoy. Initially, everybody wants to enjoy. So Vedas are not saying don't enjoy. But Vedas are saying, enjoy in the right way. Like for example, if somebody tries to enjoy in a wrong way, does he enjoy or he ends up suffering? Like somebody thinks that, oh, I want to enjoy and I need money, so he robs the bank. He gets the money and maybe for the time being he may have some fun. But then what happens? He'll be arrested, put in jail. But the right way of enjoying is, okay, you need money, qualify yourself, earn your money. And how to qualify yourself? The Vedas are giving the marriage. And mind you, in that respect, Vedas have been compared to a kalpataru, desire tree. Nigama kalpataru. Now, what is the specific characteristic of a kalpataru, desire tree? You can ask anything and the tree will hear. There is a true light. And Vedas are like that. Vedas are. You can approach the Vedas with any desire. And Vedas can fulfill that. Therefore, the Vedas have been compared to Jai Shri Shri Gaur Mahalakshmi. Jai Shri 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 Gaur Mahalakshmi. Jai Shri 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 Gaur Mahalakshmi. So that is the way the Vedas are fulfilling the Vedas. In any desire, Vedas can fulfill. You want to be very rich, Vedas gives you the direction. Okay, do this activity. You want to become a king, perform such sacrifice. You want to become the king of the entire earth planet. Okay, you can fulfill your desire. To become the king of the earth. Still you are not satisfied. You want to become the king of the heavenly planet. That facility also, the way to perform so many sites or sacrifices. So this is how the Vedas are giving direction how to enjoy. How to fulfill desire. Because enjoyment or happiness is fulfillment of desire. You want something and if you get it, how do you feel? But in spite of all your enjoyment, ultimately what do you want? The ultimate realization is, I want to enjoy but still suffering. I want to enjoy, I don't want suffering, but suffering comes. And not only that, eventually what you realize, that it is full of suffering. Only for the time being, you are avoiding a suffering condition. You know what's the definition of happiness? Definition of happiness is temporary cessation of suffering. When the suffering condition is ceased for the time being, then it is called happiness. But for how long does the happiness last? It goes away, suffering. So, when one realizes that I don't want to suffer, I only want enjoyment, but still, suffering. Wherever I go, there is suffering. Even in heavenly planets, there is suffering. So then, why am I suffering? See, this question, why, leads to jnana. Why? And what, so this actually is leading. The Vedas have been analyzed these through six branches of philosophy called Shat Darshan. Shat means six, Darshan means philosophy. So, the first aspect, Karmakanda section of the Vedas, have been analyzed through a branch of philosophy Parvamimamsa or Purvamimamsa, which means preliminary conclusion. What's the preliminary conclusion? The preliminary conclusion is karmic action reaction concept. Karma. What is the principle of karma? The principle of karma is as you sow, so shall you reap. As you act accordingly, you will get back. As you sow, so shall you reap. Nothing is happening by chance or accident. Everything has some reason behind. Accident and by chance, what does it mean? Only when we do not know the cause, we call it accident. But everything has a cause behind it. Nothing happens without it. So, and that is the consideration. So, right action will lead you to enjoyment, and wrong action leads you to suffering. So now you want to enjoy, okay, act in a proper way. But so that is the preliminary concept. If you want to enjoy, you have to act in a right manner. But then, as I said, then they come to the consideration that I do not want to suffer, but why am I suffering? So then that leads to the next branch. Gyanakanda. The Gyanakanda actually is covered by four branches of philosophy. They are Naya, Vaisheshika, Sankhya, and Yoga. Naya is logic. So logic they are considering. What's the cause of suffering? And you know what's the conclusion? This is the place of suffering. So what can you get besides suffering in a place of suffering? And this body is a wonderful instrument to receive pain. So you are in a place of suffering with a body which is meant to receive pain. What can you expect? Does it sound unpleasant that this body is the suffering? This machine, this instrument for receiving pain? Okay, consider, take any part of your body. Take, no matter how insignificant that part may be, say your little finger. Consider in how many different ways you can inflict pain. Now you consider in how many ways you can give pleasure to your little finger. Do you want to compare? And that principle actually applies to every single part of your body. So then they consider what then is this material nature? Why? What is it? Where are we? And that leads to the Vaisheshika, which actually ultimately comes to the conclusion of atomic theory. This whole creation is a combination of the minutest particles called Paramanu. The English translation for Paramanu is atom. But the Vedic concept of Paramanu is not quite like atom, it's much more subtle. Anyway, so what we have seeing this perceivable world is not actually the way it appears to be. It's only different atoms in different velocity and wave. It is given different information. Just consider, a simple consideration will be, if you analyze this wall, what is this wall? The wall is a combination of, say, you go into land, bricks and cement and sand. Then you go further. What are the bricks? What are the cement? What are the... Ultimately, you come to the minutest particle. Like, actually, they are not what they appear to be. Anyway, then it leads to the next branch of philosophy called Sankhya or analytical. Okay, let's analyze. And this analytical study comprises of, you know, there are five elements. Panchama, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. Then there are five senses. Our eyes, ears, nose, tongue. Now these senses interact with the elements and different objects of the senses are generated. Like ear interacts with ether, sound is produced. Skin interacts with air, touch is produced. Eyes interact with fire, form is produced. Tongue interacts with water, taste is produced. Nose interacts with earth, smell. So in this way, there are five objects of the sense: sound, touch, form, taste, and smell. And then they consider that there are five working senses with which we become active. Those five working senses are hands, speech, belly, anus, and genitals. So five fours are 20. Then they consider beyond that there are three subtle objects: mind, intelligence, and then finally the sum total of the material elements or mahata. 24 consideration, the whole of material nature has been. But they didn't stop at that. Then they consider that all these 24 considerations are objective in nature. But the objects cannot exist without the
subject.
So who is the subject? I am, therefore, yes. And yes, that I will be found in all, the whole material nature has been analyzed with this 24 consideration, but still the I couldn't be found there. Therefore, I is beyond matter. Hence, I is spiritual. So that I is soul. That I, it's the 25th consideration, is the soul. The souls are minute and many, therefore, it must have a source. So the source is the Supreme Soul, the Supreme Personality. But then the consideration is, then it takes to the next stage. What is the relationship to the part with the whole? How the part can become connected to the whole? Because the part's existence lies in its connection to the whole. If the part is separated from the whole, then its existence doesn't have any meaning, doesn't have any purpose. Like this little finger is a part of my body. When this little finger is separated from the body, this doesn't have any purpose. We throw it away. But as long as it's connected to the body, it's so valuable. So the purpose of the existence of the soul lies in its connection to the Supreme Soul and the Supreme Personality. So how to establish that connection? That leads to the next branch of philosophy called Yoga. Yoga literally means link, connection. How to connect to the moment. And that has 8 different stages. Therefore, it is called Ashtanga Yoga. Those 8 different stages are Jam, Niyam, Asana, Pranayama, and Dhyana, and Samadhi. Pranayama, Pratyahara, and Dhyana, and Samadhi. So, Jam, external purification. The body is made of what we eat. Therefore, our eating habit should be purifying. Because the body is, product of what we eat. Then the internal purification. Purification of the mind, purification, in simple words, the purification actually of the subtle body. The way we think, the way we act, has its effects in the mind. Therefore, our thinking has to be modified. That's the right problem. Then asana, this body is a vehicle to reach its ultimate goal. Therefore, this has to be utilized properly. Therefore, we have to situate ourselves properly within the body, asana, seat. Then comes pranayama, controlling of the breathing. Controlling of the breathing, this pranayama is actually leading one to practically stop breathing. How many processes, how many different functions the breathing has?
Three.
Okay, very good. I thought you would say two. Generally people think inhaling and exhaling. But the pranayama is pointing out holding it. Rechaka, puraka, and kumha. Holding. And then, when one has been able to control his breathing through his pranayama, then he is able to pratyahara, withdraw his senses from the objects of the senses. Otherwise, the senses are dragging the consciousness towards the external world. So, to stop that. And we have to, in order to project the consciousness internally, we have to prevent it from its external projection. So pratyahara, then only comes and meditation, the sixth stage. And nowadays what goes on in the name of yoga and meditation is not yoga meditation, they're tamasha. They're a joke. Some unscrupulous individual are taking advantage of the ignorance of the people. The real purpose of yoga is to project the consciousness inwardly onto the super soul who is situated in our hearts. Then comes dharana. When the projection has become fixed, and then comes the final stage when one perceives the Lord in the heart, that is the sangha. So at that stage, when one sees the Lord in the heart, then his head automatically bends down in respect, in surrender. So this is how, through this Gyanapana section, one is coming to the point of surrender. That takes to the final branch of the Vedic philosophy, which is called Uttar Mimamsa, final conclusion. Another name of that is Vedanta, the ultimate aspect of the Vedanta. Now you see where Bhagavad Gita is taking us. Sarva dharma parityajya mam ekam sharanam. And Bhagavad Gita is ending there. Mam ekam sharanam. Sarva. But then we are approaching, or rather Prabhupada is taking us to Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavad Gita, the final instruction is Sarva Dharman Parityajya Mam Ekam Sharanam. And the initial, the first instruction of Srimad Bhagavatam is Dharma Rajita Paritavatra. Bhagavad Gita says Sarva Dharman Parityajya, and here the Bhagavad Srimad Bhagavatam is beginning Dharma Prajjita Paridavat Paramanirman Sadana. Deno Nivedyam Vastava Matrudasu Shivavam Tavrushan. So this is how we can see where Bhagavad Gita ends. Srimad Bhagavatam. And Srimad Bhagavatam is giving us pure devotional service, access to pure devotional service. And that is the ultimate goal. Therefore, time and time again, Prabhupada says that when one receives devotion to the Lord, it has to be understood that he has gone through it, all the other places. He has achieved the perfection of the world. Why? Because this is the final approach, the final destination, the final achievement, ultimate goal. So why I am presenting this, why I am mentioning this? Simply to remind, please become aware what you have received. It's the highest spiritual object. You know, had you been born in any other time, what we have to do? We have to gradually go through all these. Just like, again, it's another example that Prabhupada gave. That you go through primary school, secondary school, high school, college, university. And then you do your graduation, you do your master's, then you get your PhD. To get PhD, you have to go through the entire process gradually. But sometimes PhD is awarded to somebody. That's a very special case. Now, bhakti, if we came in some other time, other than this time, then if we wanted bhakti, we had to gradually go through that. That's why bhakti is sudurlabha. Bhakti has six symptoms. One of the symptoms is sudurlabha. Extremely rare. Bhakti is extremely rare. But by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, bhakti has become sulabha. Not durlabha, but sulabha. We got it. Simply due to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, simply due to Prabhupada's causeless mercy. Now that we got it, what are we going to do? The consideration is, don't take it lightly. Because you have got it so easily, the tendency may be there to take it lightly, not really recognize the master. But it's very important that you recognize the value and take full advantage of it. Krishna gave it to us so mercifully. Now that you've got it, please protect it, cultivate it, and you will see what a wonderful benefit you get out of that. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any question? Yes.
Thank you very much for explaining this. Well, the question I have is the six steps which you explained, the six steps of different philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
From Bhagavad Gita perspective, all six are explained, or only the last three, like Vedanta, Yoga, and Mimamsa?
No, in a way, all six have been explained.
Exactly.
But Krishna has done this very simply, like Sankhya, the 24 consideration that, and then coming to 25th and 26th. Look how Krishna explained that. Bhumi Apo Anala Vayu Kham Mano Bhutti Devacha Ahankara Ityame Vijna Prakriti Rashtra. There it has been done in 24, sometimes in 11th canto it has been pointed out that Sankhya has given 29. Anyway, but Krishna is doing it, 8 elements with which this material nature is composed. Vinna Prakriti, the separated energy of mind, separated Prakriti is composed of this part, of 8. But then he is pointing out, Aparyamita Skanda, this is inferior. The Prakriti Nithi Me Param, there is a superior nature of that. And Jiva Bhutan Mahabhaku Jagiram Khadya. The living entities are sustaining this material. Probably use the word exploiting this material nature. So see, like, how Krishna is presenting that understanding. And then, you know, like, as we concluded through the Naya, Dukkhalaya Vashashita. Just one word. Like, see, that is the benefit of receiving the knowledge from somebody who has. He can be the number itself. Krishna is doing such a simple thing. But he is actually ultimately taking to the point of Sarana, which is the ultimate. But then the consideration is, what is after one Sarana? You see, Sarana is cessation of material activity. But the beginning of spiritual life. When you surrender, then what? Then your devotion starts to begin. We are active in this world, but these activities are for sense gratification. But that world, the activities are rendering service. Exploitation, service. Being a master, being a servant. Material, spiritual. Very simple consideration. Yes.
He's asking to repeat one section where, you know, you were describing how one darshan led to the next, right? So when I came to the fifth one, the yoga, with and so, okay, I think. How did you introduce the super soul into that
place? Yeah, that was Sankhya, that was before that.
Right.
That was, okay, that spirit soul, the minute and minute. Right?
Yes.
You have a soul, you have a soul, but we have all these souls are minute and they are minute. So they must have an origin source. And the source is the supreme soul from whom all the souls have come. Mm-hmm.
So because the spirit souls are minute, somehow logically that implies that they must have a source. Okay, and that source
there. The ultimate consideration is the knowledge, the real knowledge comes from above. When we try to kind of analyze ourselves, it's very difficult. Yes,
could you explain the difference between
You see, mind is the element, you can say, it's an element, material element, sati, through which the consciousness is projected to the material direction. Right? Intelligence is what is giving us the ability to decide how we are going to enjoy. And false ego is our mistaken identity. Actually, it will be better to understand if you look at it from the other direction. See, when a living entity looks away from Krishna, Krishna bohir mukh hoya bhagavan shakar. Bohir mukh. Mukh means face. When the face is turned away from Krishna, then what do we see? We see Krishna's external nature. Right? There's only two sides. Right? Krishna's internal potency, Krishna's external potency. When you're looking towards Krishna, looking at Krishna, we are in Krishna's internal potency. When you look away from Krishna, we are looking at Krishna's external potency, which is inferior. Now the jivas, living entities, are coming from Krishna's superior energy. Right? Therefore, this material nature is inferior to him. So when a superior comes across an inferior, what is his natural tendency? The natural tendency is to exploit, to lord over. See, this is how his identity is being transformed from the servant to the master. It's a natural thing, it's unavoidable. And that is what is giving him the forgiving in the first covering of false ego. False ego is a matter, is a material element. It's covering the soul. Then he considers how to enjoy this material nature. He decided that he is the enjoyer, and now how he is going to enjoy, he gives the second covering of intelligence. And then his consciousness constantly flows towards the material direction through the medium of mind. The third element. So mind is the kind of medium through which the consciousness is constantly flowing towards the material direction. Okay. Therefore, to convert our consciousness, we have to start working in the mind. One mana of with your mind, think of Krishna. When you are thinking of Krishna with your mind, then is the consciousness projecting towards the external world? No. It is then projected towards the spiritual reality. And then in this way, when the mind is becoming constantly engaged in thinking of Krishna, because mind's business is to think, then teshaṁ satata yuktānāṁ vajatāṁ priti purvakam dadāmi buddhi yogāṁ. See, then next, now it's coming to buddhi. The buddhi is now transformed. From intelligence, now it has become buddhi yoga, spiritual. And in this way, when it becomes engaged in serving Krishna, jīver sarūp hoy, Krishna and Nikola. So where is the false ego? False ego is also. So in this way, iha yasya hare dasya karmana manasa gira nikilashyati avasthasu jiva mukta savichyati. At that stage, he is jiva mukta, liberated. Although he is residing, dwelling in his body, the soul is in the body, but no sati body. pure spirit soul in this apparently goes about. And that stage is called Jivan Mukta stage or Swarup Siddhi stage, perfection of one's spiritual identity. Thank you. Yes.
One more question is this. I mean, from your explanation, it looks like the yoga leads to Vedanta, right? So the word Vedanta here, is it like a more of a generic term, or does it refer to Vedanta Sutra, which
Vedanta, as Prabhupada pointed out time and time again, Vedanta means bhakti. Because you see, Vedanta, because Shankaracharya given such a version of Vedanta, so it's Kevalagriha. Is total distortion of Vedanta. Chaitanya Charitamrita actually is saying that Bash Bhanto Bolitehu Uthayalo Vivad. He created, Shankaracharya raised the Vivad means
conflict.
Saying that Vajra was wrong. And he's pointed out Vasudev is talking about Parinamba, Brahma Parinamba. Parinamba means, Parinam means transformation. Brahman has been transformed into this jagat. Just as milk turns into yogurt, Brahman has transformed into this jagat. Brahman, theory of transformation. But Shankaracharya came and presented a new theory called Vivartava, the theory of illusion. See the difference? One is the theory of transformation. Brahma is real, jagat is also real. Milk is real, yogurt is also real. But illusion is unreal. For example, Shankaracharya is giving an example that just as one mistakes a mirage to be water, this is the illusion. Mirage is mistaken to be water. Mirage is not water, it's hot sand, but it's appearing to be like water. Just as somebody mistakes a rope to be a snake, it's a rope. But in semi-darkness, mistakes it to be unseen. So, by giving this kind of example, Shankaracharya established a theory of illusion. That's why it's called Mayavada. But the original name is Vivartava. Or Kevalatvaitava. Anyway, now see how wonderfully Ramanujacharya defeated Shankaracharya. Ramanujacharya pointed out, fine. There is no water in the mirage. It's a mistake to think that the mirage is water. But somewhere the water is existing, that's why you're mistaking the mirage to be water. Fine, there is no snake in the rope. But somewhere the rope is, the snake is existing, that's why you're mistaking the rope to be water. So the point is, Shankaracharya's theory was so widely spread its influence that, when they think of Vedanta, they think in the line of Shankaracharya. But the actual Vedanta is Srimad Bhagavatam. Vasudev himself is giving a commentary on the Vedanta, and that is real Vedanta. And what is that? Devotion to the Supreme Personality. That is the Vedanta. As you pointed out, after Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, where you're coming? Surrender to the Lord. That is the real end of the day. Vedanta Krit, Vedaishya Sarve, Ahameva Vedya. So Krishna himself is declaring that Ahameva Vedya. So what is the conclusion of the Vedanta? Krishna.
We just said a moment ago that either our face is turned toward Krishna or away from him. Like in between. So when it comes to this mixed devotional service, I think that means you do some devotional service, you have some selfish desires to get connected. So that term seems to imply that there is some in between.
Not in between. Like your face is still towards the material direction, but you got the information about the spiritual world. And you're practicing to turn your face. That is mixed emotional service. And when your face is completely turned, it's pure emotional service. Okay, thank you. Yes, this is occurring.
So many times you run into a situation where you feel like you remember something and
bad memory. Yeah. You see, the information that there. I mean, you can look it in the light of a computer. Actually, you know, it's very similar to Actually, computer is a replication of human mind and intellect. Where the memory is, here where information was stored. And programming is what connects all those information. So that's what intelligence does. Memory is there in the store, is stored in the mind. And intelligence is making the link. More intelligent one is, more quickly one can establish those links. Okay. How do you improve your intellect to remember? Chant Hare Krishna. Yes. Serious about it. Like, what is the Cheto Darpana Marga? The mirror of our mind is cleansed. What happens? Just by chanting our memory. Yes, okay.
You spoke about how we should not get perfect. So what can we do to practically prevent us from forgetting?
Read Prabhupada's books and discuss with the devotees. That's the best way. Okay. Mm-hmm. Read it and consult and discuss. Then the faith will become stronger. The mind will become fixed. That's why reading is so important. Association of devotees is so important. And association of devotees means satam prasanga mama bijasam. Association of devotees means just discuss about Krishna. Nothing else. Not where the next party is going to be.
All right,
we
can talk about Brahmananda Prabhu.
Okay, very good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Brahmananda Prabhu has left his body. Brahmananda Prabhu was one of the first disciples of Prabhupada. When Prabhupada came to New York and started his setup in 22nd Avenue, Prabhupada used to give Bhagavad Gita classes in the evening. And one day, Brahmananda Prabhu, his name was Bruce. So he was passing by and he saw this course on Bhagavad Gita by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami. So he wanted to meet Swami. He was actually at that time thinking of going to India. So he, those days, meeting Srila Prabhupada was quite easy. Practically anybody could approach Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was eager to meet the young Americans. So Brahmananda Prabhu came to meet Srila Prabhupada. And when he saw that Prabhupada was giving classes in Bhagavad Gita, so to impress upon Srila Prabhupada, Brahmananda Prabhu mentioned that, "Swamiji, I also did Bhagavad Gita." And he pulled out a Bhagavad Gita from his bag or from his pocket, showed it to Srila Prabhupada. So, very good. So, you did it? Yes. So open any page. So he opened the page. Prabhupada said, "Read it." So he read it. Then Prabhupada said, "Close the book. Close the book. Tell me what you understood." And he realized, to his great dismay, that he didn't understand anything. And that was the beginning. He surrendered to Srila Prabhupada. He was a school teacher at the time. And he was so dedicated that whatever money he used to get, he used to come and give it to Srila Prabhupada. My first meeting with Brahmananda Prabhu was when Prabhupada was in Mayapur in 1976. Brahmananda Prabhu was Prabhupada's secretary. And I used to go to Srila Prabhupada. I had an easy access to Srila Prabhupada because during our first meeting, Prabhupada asked me to translate his books into English. And those days, Prabhupada had more than 10,000 followers. And I can tell you, like, each one of them was dying to give 5 minutes association. It was very difficult, actually, to approach Srila Prabhupada. I myself have experienced it before that, anyway. But when I finally met Srila Prabhupada and the good fortune of receiving that instruction from Srila Prabhupada, he wanted me to translate his books into Bengali. And that gave me an easy access to Srila Prabhupada. Right. My excuse was, I have to show this to Srila Prabhupada. Then, of course, Prabhupada gave me a stack of his Bengali letters. And he asked me to reply all. And when I answered all those letters, Prabhupada gave me a stack of Hindi letters and asked me to reply. And then Prabhupada made me his secretary for Indian Affairs. And so anyway, so I was, I had access to Srila Prabhupada and Brahmananda. He was a sannyasi actually. Brahmananda Maharaj. He was Prabhupada's secretary. 3 days before the Gaur Purnima festival, he told me that Prabhupada decided to give me first and second initiation together. So I was very happy to hear that. In a way, I was quite shocked also because I knew that to get second initiation, one had to wait for a considerable amount of time. And then he actually commented, "Boy, you're fortunate. He told that he did not remember giving anyone something. And then I asked him, "So what should I do to prepare for initiation?" And his reply was, "Just get shaved and get ready to receive the mercy." We had a lot of wonderful time together. He had a big body. He was very big. But he had the heart of a child. It was so soft and tender and so kind. I can still feel his embrace. Often he would just embrace me and express his love. And he had done so much for Srila Prabhupada. Right. He was whatever Srila Prabhupada wanted, he was ready to do. And Prabhupada also had so much affection for him. Anyway, I'm sure the amount of service that she's rendered to Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada must have taken care of him very wonderfully. Left his body in Vrindavan. That's another thing. Like, his condition became quite critical. So, Gopal Krishna Maharaj sent a doctor from Delhi, and he decided that he should be taken to a hospital in Delhi. In India, the Apollo Hospital was there. So they decided to take him to Apollo Hospital. And when they were about to take him, left his body. So fortunate that he left his body. That's another wonderful instruction in life, another lesson in life. Don't waste your time in the hospital. Just stay in the holy town and leave your body and go back to God. Just by leaving your body in Vrindavan, you will go back to God. That's why you find so many old people are there. They're just waiting to give up their body. So that shows, how wonderfully he received Prabhupada's mercy. He didn't want to go, but that's another thing that Prabhupada told us in more than one occasion, that if he became unconscious, we should never take him to the hospital. Never let them take him to the hospital. That was Prabhupada's very clear instruction. Of course, Prabhupada was conscious to the end. Fully conscious. Chanting. So these are the lessons that we should actually learn. Why go to a hospital and prolong your suffering condition? That's what one doctor disciple of mine learned. That what the medical science is doing today is extending one's suffering condition. You'll be better off leaving the body, but they will just hang on. With this in your body, that in the body, just to keep the soul in the body and not let it go. Another thing Prabhupada told us, that nothing should pierce his body. No needle, nothing should pierce his body. And we stuck to that, those instructions. We didn't let anything. Injection or anything. And yesterday I was talking to Aparajita Radhika, who is a doctor, a brain surgeon. Like she was telling me that as soon as you go to the hospital, all they do is, the first thing they do is just stick a needle. So that they can put whatever they want through the permanent needle. And then all kinds of things, cut the body, open the body. Krishna consciousness is the art of dying. That's what we learn, how to die. And if we know how to die, then we'll achieve immortal. Yes, you know how to die and you'll never come back. If you know how to live, you never have to.